The title of this little episode is 18,176 Days Sober. As of this date, July 24th, 2008, I will have enjoyed 18,176 days of sobriety, thanks to the grace of God and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. To save you the trouble of doing the mathematics to figure out how many years that is, it's 49 years and 9 months, more or less. How was this accomplished? My sponsor says it was accomplished by going to meetings, not drinking, and not dying. Well, of course. AA tells us to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. It also says that we should strive for spiritual progress. The results of doing this have provided me with a happy and prosperous second life. And during the first couple of years, there were some very startling events occurred. I had been traveling on the road for many years in an occupation that provided ample opportunity to drink steadily. This resulted in my first wife divorcing me, taking custody not only of our two lovely little girls, but all of our money and possessions, leaving me with my clothes and my fiddle. Although having reached a fairly successful level, the constant drinking soon resulted in my becoming undependable and no longer wanted. In order to get money to drink, I started driving 18-wheelers all over the country, and then operating heavy equipment on construction jobs. However, the road I was traveling was all downhill, and soon I was unable to get any kind of work, and ended up on the streets as a bum. Finally, in October of 1958, I stumbled into a dirty little bar in some city that I can't even remember, and asked a couple of guys if they'd buy me a drink. They said they would if I'd play cards with them, and they handed me the cards to shuffle. Dropping the cards on the floor, I sat there looking at my shaking hands and thinking, I'm a violinist and I can't even hold a pack of cards in my hands. And you know, it was so ridiculous. And yet this bottle of beer was put in front of me and I wanted that beer so badly I needed it. I was afraid I'd die if I didn't drink it. But as I reached for it, it was as if a giant hand took hold of my arm and prevented me from picking up the bottle. Somehow I left that place and found my way back to my mother's in Framingham, Massachusetts. She was shocked to see me, particularly in the condition I was in. But I said to her, for years you've said I was a drunk and needed help. Now where are these people you know? She let me in and made a call, and shortly a couple of men showed up. Naturally, I expected an immediate cure. I wanted to go to a meeting or do whatever it was that would take me right back to where I'd been years before. They just laughed and said to my mother, take his dirty clothes off of him, put him to bed, feed him if he'll eat, and we'll be back Thursday night and take him to a meeting. Those next days were about the worst of my life. I suffered the DTs and went through torture for the next 3 days. I'd fall out of bed and try to dig my fingers into the carpet to try to keep from falling off the floor. I'd see things crawling in and out of holes in the walls and the ceiling, and my whole body felt as though little creatures were crawling all over me. I'd hear voices of people talking about me, even though there was nobody in the room. At first, sleep completely evaded me, and the mere thought of food set up a strong reaction. However, by the third day, things began to taper off a little, and I began to feel a little more human. Finally, came Thursday night, and the fellows took me to my first meeting in Knobscot Group in Framingham, Massachusetts. These three fellows took me to the meeting by taking me in the back seat with Harry the Russian, and Harry spoke very fast with a Russian accent, so I was unable to understand most of what he said. When we arrived at the meeting, I was introduced to numerous individuals, including one big ex-Marine who they decided would be my sponsor. He took me up to the front row and told me to sit down, shut up, and listen. It was a speaker meeting, and from the team of speakers were three fellows from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Being of French descent, They spoke with French accents. So after riding in the car with the Russian, and now hearing three Frenchmen, I was thoroughly confused as to what I had gotten myself into this time. However, I noticed that most of the men were fairly well-dressed. The cars in the parking lot were mostly late-model cars. Everyone seemed happy, and there was considerable laughing and joking going on. And yet the stories the speakers told were remarkably similar to my sordid tale. In fact, if anything, they might have been even worse. Seeing this overwhelming display of good-natured kidding and complete happiness convinced me that whatever these fellows had, I wanted it too. If they had found a solution to the kind of problems they described and had so thoroughly turned their lives around, then I wanted to partake of whatever it was they had. And if they had told me to go up on the roof and jump off, I'd have done it. They had me so convinced that what they had was the answer to the whole thing. They frequently referred to the 12 steps, to a higher power, to prayer, to turning their will and their lives over to the care of God. Words that were familiar to me, but in a different context. My mother had brought me up in a church environment, and I had learned to pray and had attended Sunday school and church regularly. However, I had lost my faith in God. He had taken a place in the group of enemies that I felt were trying to destroy me. My ex-wife, the police, my relatives, the people who wouldn't give me work anymore. But my new sponsor told me to get down on my knees when I first got up in the morning and ask God to get me through one day without a drink. Just one day. And then at night, if I'd been successful, before getting into bed, get down on my knees again and thank him for the day. That wasn't hard to do, and although I didn't believe that God would pay any attention to me, I did it. As the weeks went by, suddenly I realized that things were changing for the better, and good things were coming into my life from sources I never would have expected. I was given an administrative position in a very large company, in a business that I had previously known nothing about. I had an almost new car. Perhaps the greatest miracle was the fact that it appeared that a serious relationship seemed to be growing between me and a very attractive and popular young lady who held a rather high position in the medical field. All in all, good things were happening in my life for the first time in many years, and I was free from the terrible throes of living under the influence of alcohol. More than anything, by following the precepts set forth in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, my life for the past 49 plus years has been a wonderful experience, and I have been blessed with a whole new life, which included 45 precious years with my lovely wife Marguerite, our son of whom I'm very proud, and countless good friends through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. None of this would have been possible if God had not been with me that day in October 1958, when he stopped me from picking up that last drink. I know now that dependence upon the Lord is central to an abundant life, and that as it says in the Bible, in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest ocean, even your hand will guide me, and your heart will support me.